The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Chag Sameach, Anthony Reich, how are you?
Purim Sameach, very nice to finally have something to celebrate after so many things that have not been worthy of celebration. We understand that Megillat Esther was actually read yesterday in the old shul in Lviv under those war conditions, and it was a struggle to get a minyan, we're told, but it was nevertheless achieved. And the Megillah, we are told, had to be read before sundown as opposed to the usual practice of after sundown in order to allow people to be able to get home before the curfew comes into being in order to protect people there. So just an interesting little snippet from within Ukraine on Purim, and I hope that everybody is having an opportunity to celebrate today. Just another little snippet unrelated to Purim completely is the fact that Israel's latest astronaut, Eitan Stieber, is getting ready for his takeoff into space, into the International Space Station, which could happen within the next couple of weeks. It could be as soon as before the end of the month. And we understand that he is planning to take into space with him and to take to the International Space Station a nano chip which has the Torah etched on it. The nano chip is a half a square millimeter in size, and it will carry 1.2 million letters which have been etched onto the silicon nano chip. He will take it with him to the International Space Station. And he says that this is a symbol of harmony between groundbreaking Israeli technology and our heritage. It has the Torah, the historical text on it, on this great new development, which is a nano chip. We understand that a copy of this so-called nano Bible was also presented to Pope Benedict by then President Shimon Peres when they had the opportunity to meet. And so it's not necessarily something which is brand new. It is something that's been around for a while, but in the opinion of Israel's latest astronaut, Eitan Stieber, this is a great symbol, something which is very appropriate for him to carry with him to the International Space Station. What do you guys think?
Absolutely incredible. And it's just unbelievable when we hear about these things. And it's meaningful, and I'm not even sure why it's meaningful, but it really just is phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's a nice little, I mean, obviously, you know, he can't be carrying huge amounts of baggage with him, but it is very common and the dumb thing for astronauts to carry with them some symbols when they go up to the International Space Station, when they go up to space. We remember, for example, one of the symbols that the Israel's late astronaut Ilan Ramon carried with him was a mezuzah cover which had around it barbed wire, which symbolized the Shoah for him, and the mezuzah, of course, which symbolizes our heritage as well. And for him, this was something that he wanted to carry with him into space. He didn't go to the International Space Station, but he certainly had his opportunity to be in space before the tragedy of the re-entry of Space Shuttle Columbia. But as I say, it's very, very common for astronauts, particularly those going to space for the first time, to carry some sort of a symbol with them, or some symbols which talks about their heritage and talks about what they represent and what's important to them.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal. Progress has been reported in the talks between Russia and Ukraine in a bid to end the war.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, very, very pleasing. We hope that this will come to something. And this is not only the Israeli press that are talking about this, but this is an article which I saw from the UK Financial Times, which I think is a very credible newspaper. And it talks about a 15-point peace plan that is being currently discussed between Russia and Ukraine, which could potentially bring an end to the war, something which we will all be very grateful for if indeed it is successful. Part of the plan involves Ukraine agreeing not to join NATO, not to have international forces on its territory, Ukraine agreeing to make Russian an official language in Ukraine, in return for which, of course, Russian forces will be expected to leave Ukraine in peace, So that's part of this 15-point peace plan, which we understand has been progressed. But here's the real point of interest to Israel. The point of interest is that the UK Financial Times is saying that Israel's Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has been the primary international mediator on the talks. That's according to the Financial Times. Of course, there are other international leaders who have been involved, including, quite interestingly, Turkish President Erdogan, who also has been involved. And we understand that Turkey may well even be part of the agreement that comes into being, some sort of the guarantee that Russia gets from Ukraine. But it's interesting that Naftali Bennett has been put there by an international newspaper as the primary international mediator. And I suppose my question then comes, the question that comes to my mind is, has it been worthwhile for Israel to be treading this middle road without being without formally criticizing Russia for its invasion of Ukraine in return for our Prime Minister being able to somehow broker an agreement which will bring an end to the war rather than imposing sanctions and being critical and you know, castigating Russia, which is what the rest of the international community has chosen to do, and I think with great justification. Certainly not being critical of that particular position, but I suppose, you know, for those people who've been critical of Israel's middle of the road position and unwillingness to criticize Russia, will that be justified if Naftali Bennett somehow manages to bash these heads together and bring about a cessation of violence? I'm not saying necessarily that peace will suddenly break out miraculously, but at least stop the war. Will Israel's position have been justified if that succeeds? Here's, you know, that's the question I'm putting out there to the listeners and for people to think about. We're not there yet. Unfortunately, the drama that's going on in Ukraine persists. Some of the crimes that are being committed are just unspeakable. And I think one of the other interesting things that has come out of this war is that it really allows people to compare Israel's behavior during recent conflicts, particularly in Gaza, with regard to the civilian population. When you see what atrocities are being committed, according to the press that we read, against the Ukrainian civilian population by the Russian army. And I suppose the next question is there going to be a charge of war crimes for some of the things that have gone out? It just allows us to compare and contrast, because Israel has come under such massive criticism for its behavior during recent conflicts. Look at Israel's behavior and let's compare it to what's going on in Ukraine today. It seemed to me like chalk and cheese.
Well, certainly. And the fact is that Bennett has been brokering, he's been back and forth between the two world leaders. Do we know where Putin is on this?
We do understand.
Oh, is that how this is going to be, Mukundi?
Indeed it is. I've been waiting all show.
I know you've been waiting all show. And I can see some of the questions coming in and I'm thinking, whoa, I'm being set up for this.
We didn't mention Haman's name yet, so let's keep the noises for when we
when we say Putin. Every time we say Putin, I see that this is happening this morning.
We believe that President Putin is coming nearer to agreeing to this plan. He's being presented in the talks on Ukraine by the Foreign Minister Lavrov. And we've heard some more positive words coming out of Russia, out of the Kremlin, to suggest that there is some justification to the belief that things are moving closer towards a ceasefire situation. President Putin himself, I don't believe, has made any comment about it, but there is clarity that the Russian position is very much being considered and taken into consideration. And we understand that President Zelensky and his negotiating team have already agreed to some quite significant compromises in order to satisfy the Russian demand. So it seems as if the things are somehow moving closer to each other.
A new COVID variant has been reported in Israel. This is not great.
And this is not a Purim spiel.
Yeah, I looked it up to make sure that it wasn't.
Yeah, it's not a Purim spiel.
Because it wouldn't be funny if it was.
Yeah. So obviously, with the war in Ukraine, we're hearing less and less about things related to COVID. But this one has come back onto the front pages. We understand that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett met with the COVID team managing the pandemic in Israel, and that two Israelis had been diagnosed with a previously unknown variant, which was discovered during the routine tests that are performed at Ben Gurion Airport for all passengers who return to Israel. This is still a requirement that's in place for tourists and for Israelis coming into the country, all of whom are required to have a PCR test at Ben Gurion Airport. And we understand that the current newly discovered variant is somehow thought to be a combination between the Omicron BA1 and BA2 subvariants. And even though there was a report from the health ministry that said there are so many new variants, apparently one every few weeks, and they're usually quite close to previous variants that they're not even reported upon, this one, for some reason, has been raised as an issue, even though those people who are infected with it are reported to have been experiencing very mild symptoms, including fever, headaches, muscle pain, and they did not require any other medical attention. So I'm not quite sure why this new variant has suddenly hit the headlines and been included in the Prime Minister's COVID briefing. But the meeting of that committee, which involves the Minister of Health and other senior health officials, including the Health Ministry Director General, as well as the COVID-19 Commissioner with the Prime Minister, and of course the Commander of the Home Front Command of the IDF, which has been also helping to manage the pandemic in Israel, that meeting examined the increase in the infection rate, in particular in China and Hong Kong, those areas. There has also been reported to be an increase in the infection rate in Israel as well. And there was a view that mask wearing in inside areas might be lifted by the end of this month. But now the meeting has decided, that particular committee that met yesterday has decided to maintain mask wearing indoors, at least for now, and at least until this is reviewed again closer to Pesach. So it's believed that mask wearing will continue to be required at least beyond Pesach, and maybe after that, depending on how things go.
Right, and certainly something to keep an eye on. A new route is due to be opened between Israel and Egypt.
Yeah, I think this is another feather in the cap of our Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, many of whom thought didn't have much of a chance of bringing any meaningful leadership to Israel. And this new flight route between Tel Aviv and Sharm el-Sheikh will be inaugurated during Chol HaMoed Pesach. Quite ironically, the opposite of the exodus from Egypt. There will be an exodus probably to Egypt of people wanting to holiday in Sharm el-Sheikh as a result of this new route being opened up. And this comes on the back of an agreement that was reached between Prime Minister Naftali Bennett and the Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi when they met in September of last year. They agreed to inaugurate this new route to Sharm el-Sheikh. And work has been going on since then by the Shin Bet and by the Egyptian security officials in order to make sure that everything is in place to inaugurate this new route. And we were told yesterday that everything is now ready and that we will have this new flight route between Tel Aviv and Sharm el-Sheikh. And Prime Minister Naftali Bennett said that this really signals another step in what he calls the warming up of the peace agreement between Israel and Egypt. The peace agreement that's existed already for some time between Israel and Egypt, I think, has really served an amazing purpose. It's given peace on the border. It's reduced the conflict between the two countries. It's increased a lot of cooperation. However, we just don't feel the same relationship with Egypt as, for example, we've seen open up between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, which after a very, very short time has become a very much desired destination for Israeli tourists. People are welcome there. There is no feeling of antagonism, not when Israelis travel there and not when people from the Emirates, the Emiratis travel here. It's all very welcome. It's all very open arms and very welcoming. And yet we don't feel that with Egypt, and we've not felt that with Egypt. And it's not to say that the peace treaty as a result has not been effective, because let's not forget that we were in a direct conflict situation with Egypt, something which did not exist Before the peace treaty with the Emirates. And so it's an entirely different situation. But it's interesting that Naftali Bennett has felt the need to somehow try to warm up the peace agreement. And he feels that opening up this route will help to do that and to allow tourists to travel to different parts of the country. Up until now, when Israelis have traveled to Egypt, it's generally been just across the border from Eilat into the Sinai, alternatively travel to Cairo, which is almost very unusual still, in spite of the peace agreement having existed for some time. Let's hope that this will help somehow, that the signs from the leadership at the top will somehow trickle down to the man on the street, both in Egypt and in Israel, to allow a little bit more of a warmer feeling between the two countries.
Absolutely amazing. Really, really incredible. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Have a Purim, a Chag Sameach. Chag Purim Sameach. Have a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning.